Now, one of the most crucial passages in the Gospels is what we call Peter's Confession of Christ. Remember the time when Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they came up with various explanations, that he was a prophet or somehow Elijah or someone else. And I think if you ask that same question out in about the world, you get similar kind of range of answers. You know, people might say he was a great religious leader, or that he was a good man. But Jesus then turned the question directly on the disciples themselves. And remember, he said to them, "Who do you say that I am?" And we're all eternally grateful for Peter jumping up and saying those immortal words, "You're the Christ, you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And of course, we know that's the point when Jesus got really excited and commissioned Peter to be the leader of the church following Jesus's death and resurrection and ascension. So that's the question that he asks us all. He asks every human being, "Who do you say that I am?" And we know that the answer to that question is really crucial. It affects our eternal destination. Remember, we say the words quite often from John's Gospel, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believed in him should not perish, but have eternal life." So how we're willing to answer that question, "Who do you say that I am?" affects what happens beyond this life. But it doesn't just affect that. It should affect how we live our lives here on earth. Our understanding of who Jesus is should really have a real impact on how we live our lives today. And our two passages, both of them actually, give us some interesting insights into other people's, first of all, for the book of Hebrews. We don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews, but it's got some wonderful insights that the early church had about the nature of who Jesus is, how to answer that question, who do you say that I am? Look towards the end of that passage, it says, "Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered." Now, we believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He's God in human form. But this tells us that he genuinely is human, that he needed, while he was on earth, to actually pray to his Father. He offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears. That's speaking about a real human being, having a real relationship with God. And as Jesus is our Savior, the one who died for us so that our sins might be forgiven, so that we might follow him through death and resurrection to the life to come, he's also our model. We know there that God, if you like, compressed himself. He took his infinite nature and he put that inside one human being, one finite being, just as we are. So in Jesus, we not only see God in human form, we also see what it's possible for human beings to be. Somehow, and it's quite obviously beyond our understanding how, somehow God compressed himself, can't think of a better word, he made himself finite, he took his infiniteness and put it into a finite being. And if Jesus is genuinely a human being, he had to be born as we are, and he had to grow up, and he had to learn just as we have had to do in our lives. And his understanding grew as he got older, and we know that as he went through, we have that passage in Luke's Gospel when he was a 12-year-old, actually saying he knew at that point that he needed to be in his Father's house. And he grew up in his understanding and in his relationship with God. And he gave us there a model for the human life. Now, we know that none of us are ever going to fully emulate him. It's not, we are fallen beings. We can never actually fully do what God did. And that's one of the reasons he put us together in the church, that we can bring together our different gifts and talents, our, our different natures, so that somehow together we can represent, we can represent his nature to the world. But that challenge we need to take up. And it's all part of our answer to this question, who do you say that I am? If we are willing to say with the early church that he is the Son of God and the Son of Man, that somehow in him we see everything that we need. Now we're going to say the Nicene Creed in a minute. This is a very old formulation of what Christians believe. If you have a look at it on page 11, you'll see that the largest part of it is all about Jesus. God the Father only gets 5 lines. I think the Holy Spirit only gets about 3, if you take out the bits that are common to the whole of the Trinity. And there in the middle, we speak about Jesus for 21 lines. The nature and what Jesus went through is really crucial for us, as it was for the early church. It's why we carry on saying these words, to remind ourselves that Jesus is everything for us. Who do you say that I am? Is a question that he asks us, and a question that we need to keep answering. As we go through and hear about his life in the Gospels week by week, we see different aspects of what it means to really live the Christian life in the person of Jesus. And in this passage that we read from Mark's Gospel today, at the end of it, Jesus speaks about how he was, how he is an example for us in living our own lives. He talks about the Gentiles, about people lording over them, about people being in charge of other people. And he tells the disciples, but it's not so among you, but whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. So that's fine, that's good advice, that's good teaching that we all need. But he goes on to say, for the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. He's saying here, look at me, okay? I'm showing you how to do this. What I've just told you to do, I'm not telling you anything that I'm not willing to do myself. And I'm here with you to show you how to live this life. By me, Jesus is saying to them, by me serving you, you're seeing how you need to serve each other and how you need to be willing to lay down your lives for each other, just as I have, just as I will be doing in the rest of his life here on earth. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So we can think about how we should live our lives. We can come up with all sorts of ideas and theories. We can go into the bookshops and get all these. Have you seen all these self-help books you can get nowadays? There's shelves and shelves of them that tell you how to do this and how to do that, how to be a better person, how to have a more fulfilling life. But basically, all we need is Jesus himself and his example as it is described for us in the Gospels. And how in the rest of the New Testament we find people describing what it means to live like Jesus, as we do here in the book of Hebrews, as Rob read to us. And there we find someone wrestling with this question of who Jesus is, but coming up with this really clear conclusion that we can actually put our trust and faith in him, both for this life and for the life to come. It talks about there Jesus being our great high priest, the one who was able to do what the high priest in the old Jewish system could do, offer sacrifices for the sins of the people. But of course Jesus offered the sacrifice of himself once for all. That's why we don't need to carry on with those sacrifices. but we know also that he lived a life while he was on earth to show us what God requires of us, and how it is possible to live in communion with him all our days here on earth. It says there, so Christ did not glorify himself becoming a high priest, but was appointed by the one who said to him, you are my son, Today I have begotten you. That's a quotation, I think it's from Psalm 2. It's saying there that God the Father said to Jesus, you are my son, today I have begotten you. That word begotten is not much used in English, but it means it's what we do when we produce children. Both the father and mother come together and they produce a child. They don't create a new child. None of us have created our children. But by coming together, we give them of ourselves, our essence, and they are like us. And this is what it's said about Jesus. You are my son. Today I have begotten you. And he also says in another place, you are a priest together according to the order of Melchizedek. He's saying there, it's not the old priestly orders that we find in the Old Testament, in what was still going on in the temple, but was this eternal order of priesthood, going back to this man who appears in the book of Genesis. So just to bring these thoughts together, Jesus is everything that we need. And it's why we call ourselves Christians. It's why we we come together week to week to sing, as we did in our first hymn, May Jesus Christ be praised, because he is our everything. Amen.